Welcome to Interactive Insights. I'm Chloe Stewart and I'm joined here today with James Boyd. Today we're going to be exploring trademarks. James, it might be useful to start off by explaining what exactly a trademark is.
The first thing that comes to mind when I think about trademarks is that all of us are exposed to trademarks pretty much on a daily basis. You'll often see products that you're holding accompanied by maybe a small TM or an R, and this naturally signifies that the product is protected by a trademark. Yeah. A trademark is essentially a form of intellectual property that represents a brand or part of a company, and it can form many different things. It's a many-headed monster. It could be a word, a phrase, a logo, a symbol, even a combination of colours.
Yeah.
If you take example, something like McDonald's, just by uttering the name McDonald's, we can all picture maybe the golden arches, the term Big Mac or Happy Meal. These are all registered protected trademarks, which essentially form part of that McDonald's brand.
And why would anyone want to register a trademark? Are there any specific benefits to having a trademark registered?
Well, my answer is naturally yes. So first and foremost, when a business registers a trademark, it's obtaining exclusive rights to use that trademark in connection with specific goods or services. Practically speaking, this helps prevent others from using marks that would be similar and would therefore cause public confusion. So if we take, for example, something like Coca-Cola, yeah, that's a globally recognised brand and it's also a protected trademark. If, Chloe, you started to produce a carbonated drink called Coca-Cola, you would expect to receive a lengthy letter through your letterbox explaining that you need to stop using this brand because it's essentially infringing upon the already well-recognised Coca-Cola brand.
I noticed that you referred to trademarks being registered. Is there a global registry for trademarks that can be easily accessed?
Well, the answer to that is yes, and also no. There's no easy answer.
Yeah.
You'll find that different jurisdictions will have their own trademark registries. I think for today, it might be useful for us just to focus on the United Kingdom registry. So in the UK, the authority responsible is referred to as the Intellectual Property Office, and that does not roll off the tongue easily. So I think we'll refer to that as the IPO. The purpose of the IPO, it's a government body and it both grants trademark, registered trademarks for applicants and then also maintains a register, and that register spans the whole of the United Kingdom. Unlike many registers, it's actually readily and freely accessible. So anybody from the public and ourselves today, we can go on to that register to keep an eye on our own registered trademarks, or if we're thinking about registering a trademark to see if there's any other similar trademarks already registered.
Let's say I want to register a trademark in the UK with the IPO. What is the process involved?
There's several steps. I think the first, one of the most important and not so obvious to some people, is to actually check that your desired trademark is available for use.
Yeah.
It could already be in use by somebody in a similar industry. This search is very quick to do, and it saves money, time, and potentially protracted and costly litigation, and that's always to be avoided if possible. Let's use a hypothetical example. Let's say I intended to open a shop along the seafront called Shell, and it was specialising in sort of seaside gifts and that sort of thing. And I had a lovely logo that was a 2D shell. There's an argument that my desired trademark is very similar to that which is used by the energy company, Shell. What I would have to prove to the IPO and to Shell themselves is that our industries and the services and goods that we are offering are entirely different. I would be offering the sale of seaside gifts and souvenirs. The Shell company that we all know sells petroleum and gas. So while our trademarks and our company brand might seem similar, the goods and services that we would be offering are entirely different.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things to think about whenever you're registering a trademark. Not only that your name isn't already in use, but that the goods and services that you're going to be offering are different than somebody else's.
Okay, so your application has been submitted, and once checked over by the IPO, does this mean that your trademark will be fully registered?
Unfortunately not, if only life were so simple. So if, and only if, the IP approves your application, it'll be published in the official journal, and it sits there for a period of, I think, 2 months. During that period, anyone, any business or individual, has that opportunity to raise an objection if they believe that your trademark is similar to one that they already have registered. and if the goods and services that you're offering are similar or identical to the goods and service that they are offering. Let's use best case scenario and assume that no objections have been raised or any conflicts that have arisen have been resolved. What then?
Yeah.
Well, that means your trademark would be officially registered by the IPO. I believe that that remains the case for 10 years and you can renew that trademark at any time throughout.
So let's say there is an objection lodged by another party. What happens then?
Well, thankfully for the applicant, the burden rests on the opposing party to lodge what's called a notice of intention to object, and they will have to set out to the IPO their intended grounds to object to your trademark application. And these grounds will have to satisfy the IPO before you would be providing a defence to that.
And if a company or organisation never registers a trademark, do they have any protection?
Well, it sounds like a contradiction in terms, but they actually do. So a trademark can still be enforced, even if it's not formally registered with the IPO. And I believe there's an old maxim that says, a man is not to sell his goods under the pretense that they are the goods of another man. It's an old saying, but it still stands in intellectual property.
Yeah.
In practice, people have the protection of what's called passing off. Now, to meet the criteria for passing off, a claimant must be able to show three things. Number one, that there's the goods and services that's being offered by the claimant. Attached to that is a reputation or an image. Again, think back to when we were talking about McDonald's.
Yeah.
Let's say McDonald's had never a registered trademark for the Big Mac. We all know what a Big Mac is, and we all know that it comes from McDonald's. So there's a reputation and an image associated with that name. And therefore, someone like McDonald's would be able to say, well, we have an established reputation and image, even if we don't have a registered trademark. Secondly, there has to have been a misrepresentation to the public. And again, that would be causing public confusion. Essentially, you would be using an established brand for your benefit and therefore confusing the public. Now, thirdly and finally, there must have been damage caused. It's not enough to simply innocently use somebody else's brand with no real adverse effect on them. There has to have been some, say, monetary loss or damage incurred. Now, you're probably thinking, well, if I could rely on the protection of passing off, why on earth would I bother registering a trademark? The answer to that is quite simple. The benchmark for establishing passing off is significantly higher than trademark infringement. In passing off, you have to satisfy all three criteria. So you have to prove that your brand has a reputation and image. You have to prove that there's been a misrepresentation, which has caused public confusion. And thirdly, you have to prove that there's been damage to your brand because of that misrepresentation. Trademark infringement, you could rely on one of those grounds. Passing off, it's all three. And you'll often find that people with registered trademarks will also allege that an opposing party has passed off their brand. So you can use trademark infringement and passing off if you have a registered trademark.
Yeah.
So my advice remains the same. Take steps to register your trademark rather than simply rely on the grounds of passing off. The sooner, probably the better, as it means you protect your brand from, say, the outset of your business. Or if you're building a brand, it's certainly something to think about.
Since we've been talking so much about trademarks, have you any trademark cases that have sort of stood out to you?
Yeah, you'll often find that the public is incredibly interested to hear about trademark cases. Something that I've noticed in the news lately is supermarkets at each other's throats. They seem to enjoy posturing by taking trademark cases against one another. One of the more recent ones would be the case of Lidl and Tesco. And essentially what has happened there, Lidl has an established brand. If I said to you the word Lidl and asked you what colours are associated with Lidl, you'll probably think of the blue and yellow and red circle.
Yeah.
If I then asked you about what colours do you associate with the Tesco club card deal, you'll probably say blue and yellow. And this, I suppose, similarity formed the basis of High Court litigation, where Lidl alleged that Tesco were passing off their brand, their colour brand, by using their logo. And the courts, of course, upheld that indeed Tesco were infringing upon the registered trademark of Lidl. So trademark it isn't a niche legal issue. It's something that we all experience from day-to-day lives, and it's something that larger businesses and supermarket chains are also experiencing and having to deal with. Tesco, in this case, plans to appeal, so it will be interesting to see where that goes. But there's a clear precedent set. Even if you have a large business, it doesn't mean that you can necessarily infringe on the trademark of others who are smaller. So I think there's a valuable lesson for Tesco to be learned there.
Thanks, James. If anyone has any queries in relation to what we've discussed, please do not hesitate to get in touch with our corporate and commercial team.